KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:04, we have sunny skies and 29 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to become partly cloudy. It'll be windy today as well, with just a slight chance for isolated showers this afternoon, a high around 55. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In area news, the Cass County Board of Supervisors are expected to receive a report during their meeting this morning in Atlantic with regard to a courthouse space needs study and HVAC, or heating, ventilation, and cooling system analysis. The study, which was approved by the board back in December, was conducted by Carlson, West, and Provandra Architects at a total cost of $4,300. Finding more space in the courthouse or on the grounds of the facility is a process that began in the fall of 2011 after it became clear the Cass County 911 and Communications Center had outgrown its current location, and because new technology will take up more space and require the use of additional personnel to operate it. The board concluded that the HVAC study should be done to determine whether it would be more cost-effective and feasible to install a geothermal system or reconfigure the current system depending on the location of the 911 center. In other business, the supervisors will recess to conduct a second of three public hearings and a vote on amendments to the County General Assistance Program. First hearing and vote on the matter took place last week. The amendments generally serve to clean up the language in the current General Assistance Program policy and eliminates any typographical errors. The board will also receive a quarterly report from Cass County Veterans Affairs Director Mitch Holmes and on public safety communications from Sean Schaus. Their meeting gets underway at 9 a.m. And the Adair County Board of Supervisors will meet at 9 o'clock also this morning at the courthouse in Greenfield. And during their session, the board will receive a manure management plan update, along with the fiscal year 2012 landfill financial report and responses pertaining to an Iowa Municipal Workers' Compensation Association site inspection. The board in Adair County will also receive a report from the Veterans Affairs Director with regard to laptop, phone, and VA office lease matters, and discuss with County Conservation Director Kevin Blazek a safe room. The Harlan Community School District's Board of Education on Monday approved the hiring of a new superintendent secretary and board secretary to replace Terry Cox, who has announced her retirement. The board agreed that Kelly Clausen from the Shelby County campus of Iowa Western Community College was the best qualified candidate for the position. Superintendent Justin Wagner says it was a big decision for the district.
This was a huge hire for us, in my opinion. Trying to replace someone like Terry Cox is going to be very difficult. Obviously, she touches a lot of things and just does a super job. And we went through the process, and we actually went out and had a conversation with Kelly. And I really encouraged her to come in and take a look, and she did. And right now she's at Iowa Western Community College. She runs community college out there, has grown the program immensely, does a great job working with people, is very attention to detail oriented. She really fits that bill well, and we're really excited to get somebody sharp and someone who's in the community on board. I think that's an important piece of that.
Clausen has been with Iowa Western Community College for more than 6 years, with the last three served in Harlan. She'll begin her journey with the Harlan Community School District on June the 3rd. The board this week also approved the hiring of Jenna Hucka, former Harlan Community graduate, for primary special education teacher, and Chris Brown for technical support. In other business, the Harlan Community School Board approved a 4.29% wage and benefit increase for the superintendent, administrators, and non-certified employees. The increase was the same as the increase for teacher salaries. And they approved a 28E agreement with the City of Harlan, which Wagner said was for Vision Iowa dollars that are destined for Merrill Field. The Atlantic Community School District's finances are solid, but some areas need to be watched closely. That was the word Monday night from Gary Sinclair, Senior Financial Advisor for PMA Financial Network. Sinclair presented financial information from the IASB, the Iowa Association of School Boards, and a light financial planning program from PMA. He said a summary of the district's financial data takes a big-picture look at how money was spent, where it came from, enrollment trends, cash, and unspent balance trends. Enrollment, he said, is one of seven key indicators of the district's financial health, as well as the solvency ratio, which for Atlantic is 8.6% for the current fiscal year.
It's the money that you have that's not committed to something else. And you see that you're slightly down. And that's okay. You can't always have an upward trajectory. It's got to be up and down. The recommended range is 5 to 15%, not to exceed 25%. So you're in the range that we recommend that districts have.
In fiscal year 2011, Atlantic's solvency ratio was 9.1%. The highest was in 2008, when the ratio was 14%. The current ratio, according to Sinclair, is in line with what a bulk of other districts are experiencing. In the area of revenue expenditures, Sinclair said the Atlantic District spent 101.5% of its revenue, which is healthy, but could be a problem for the future.
Almost every district in 8 and 9 spent more money than they took in because of the cuts that we experienced, but it's very healthy to be where you're at. There's not an issue. Now, if that continued, and every year you're overspending revenue, then it does create some issues.
Atlantic's unspent budget ratio in fiscal year 2012 was 25.3%, which is down from 28% in fiscal year 2011, but still at the high end of the recommended amount.
You are given a certain amount of money that you have the legal authority to spend. At the end of the year, we look at how much of that is unspent, and that's called your unspent balance. Now, the recommended range is 5 to 15, not to exceed 25. So you're on the very high end of that. But I think that you'll find most school districts there from the standpoint that with the lack of direction, you know, the legislature is 3 months behind in setting fiscal year 15 allowable growth, 15 months behind setting fiscal year 14 allowable growth, districts tend to be more conservative, and that's what happens.
Even so, he said the district needs to watch how much it has in available unspent budget authority. The Atlantic School District, he said, was on par with other districts as far as its salary and benefits ratio, but it needs to watch its spending.
Your salaries and benefits are such a large part of your budget that you need to make sure you keep those under control. The average in the state is 77.1. You're 77.7, which is typical for the largest school in an area. But you see, your trend line has actually been down, which, you know, is a healthy part as long as you can keep that low.
He said also the district needs to keep tabs on overspending its revenues. In 3 of the last 5 years, the district has overspent its revenue, which Sinclair said is not unusual and that what it should be doing to some extent, but it needs to watch the spending authority very closely. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City man who was accused of fatally shooting his two dogs has been given 2 days in jail. 51-year-old John Holloway had pleaded guilty to reckless use of a firearm and discharging a firearm inside the city limits. Prosecutors dropped two counts of animal cruelty in exchange for Holloway's pleas. He was sentenced on Tuesday. Police say the man used a rifle to shoot his two dogs on February 12th in his backyard. Police said that Holloway had been arguing with his sister about the dogs being aggressive. And a dentist in Western Iowa has agreed to pay a $2,500 penalty for not having a valid registration for prescribing medication. Dr. Michael Wrench made the agreement at a settlement with the Iowa Dental Board. The board said Wrench repeatedly prescribed controlled substances without a valid registration as required by the Drug Enforcement Administration. The dental board said Wrench's DEA registration had expired on June the 1st of 2009, and that Wrench confirmed that he issued several prescriptions for controlled substances while lacking the DEA registration. He since reinstated his DEA registration. That was in March of 2012. Taking a look at our world news at this hour, U.S. investigators are in southern Russia speaking with parents of the two Boston Marathon bombing suspects. The U.S. embassy officials said the Americans traveled to Dagestan and are working with Russian security services. Meanwhile, the area where the two bombs went off on Boylston Street has reopened to the public today, but some damaged stores are still boarded up. The death toll is going up in a building collapse in Bangladesh. Authorities near the capital of Dhaka say at least 87 people have been confirmed dead in this morning's collapse of the building that housed several garment factories, but more people are feared dead. Some 600 were rescued. Some workers say the building developed severe cracks yesterday, and it was even reported on the local news. Residents in Newtown, Connecticut have said no to budgets that would have spent more money on security in the wake of the massacre at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. The school and town budgets proposed spending $1 million to hire more police officers and placed armed security guards in Newtown's schools. The town's top elected official says he's not sure what message voters are sending. The Obama administration is pushing for help instead of punishment for some drug offenders. The administration's drug czar is announcing reforms today to put nonviolent drug offenders into treatment instead of prison. Under the new health care overhaul, millions of people will become eligible for treatment for substance abuse. And finally in the news, orders for long-lasting U.S. factory goods are showing a sharp decline, dragged lower last month by a steep drop in commercial aircraft demand. But orders that reflect business investment plans rose slightly. The Commerce Department said orders for durable goods declined 5.7% in March after a 4.3% gain the previous month. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Leslie S. Vorm, age 90 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Memorial services for Les Vorm will be today at 11:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Auchenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Stephen Kahn, age 65 of Lewis, died Monday. Memorial services for Steve Kahn will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Church of Christ in Griswold. Auchenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. William Horbach, age 95 of Templeton, died Sunday at the Sunnybrook Assisted Living Facility in Carroll. A massive Christian burial service for William Horbach will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Templeton. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Merritt Bauer, age 95 of Bridgewater, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Merritt Bauer will be on Thursday at 2 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle is in charge of the arrangements. Marion J. Kopf, age 89 of Exira, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Marion Kopf will be held on Friday at 11 o'clock at the Catherine Graham Memorial Chapel at Waterloo Memorial Park Cemetery in Waterloo. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Larry Ward Sr., age 73 of Wyota, died Monday at the Cass County Hospital. Graveside services for Larry Ward Sr. will be this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the South Lawn Memory Garden Cemetery in Atlantic. Auchenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Dean Linden, age 62 of Harlan, died Thursday at his home. Graveside services for Dean Linden will be Saturday at 3 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Robert Bob Krauth, age 75 of Messina, died February 27th in Mesa, Arizona. Celebration of life services for Bob Krauth will be on May the 4th at 2:30 p.m. at the Messina United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Messina is in charge of the arrangements. And Gaylord Pauley, age 97 of Las Vegas and formerly of Harlan, died Tuesday in Las Vegas. Services for Gary Pauley, or rather Gaylord Pauley, I should say, are pending at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.